Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Nice to be once more with our brothers and sisters, worshiping the Lord and sharing His Word. What I'm going to share with you this morning is about being a witness and testifying. This morning we've had two testimonies, and we say, well, praise God, confirms what I'm going to minister to you today. Let's start with a short word of prayer. Father in heaven, I come in the name of Jesus before your people to share your word. I ask, Lord, that you will, by your Holy Spirit, speak through me. You give me the words, Lord, that you want the people to hear. I pray for the people, Lord, that you will give them ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, that you will quicken it unto them, that your word will go forth, it will not return barren, Father, but it will fulfill that which you have sent it to do. And then, Father, it will produce fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. So, the message this morning is, you will be my witnesses. Now, first of all, I want to read a scripture, which is not on the list of scriptures. It's found in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. It's not on the list. The scripture the Lord gave me this morning, that's why it's not on the list. Right. So this is a letter to the church of Ephesus. These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered, and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this one thing against you, that you have left your first love. Now, there's a lot in that which applies to us. This fellowship, we have worked. God says, I know your works, your labor, and your patience. We have been patient. We have worked for the Lord. We've ministered for the Lord. We have been patient. And that we cannot bear those who are evil. You have persevered. And have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and not become weary. Melvin and Marie have labored. They have been patient. And they brought forth fruit. God has blessed us. Our numbers have increased. So it says here, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you've lost your first love. So now, what is our first love? I want you to think back. Think back to the time when you gave your heart to Jesus. Maybe it was many weeks ago, maybe months ago, years ago. When you gave your heart to Jesus, you were happy. All the sins, all the burdens had been taken away. And you had joy in your heart. And you wanted to share with others the good news of Jesus. You shared it with them because it was in your heart. So this is, I believe, what the Lord is speaking about here. When he says that you have lost your first love. What has happened to our witnessing? What has happened to our testifying of the goodness of God, of salvation, of power in His name? Well, Let's look and see what the scriptures say. And let's endeavor to relight that fire which was in our hearts when we first gave our hearts to Jesus. And let us become a people who will go forth in the name of Jesus to witness, to tell others of his healing power, of his deliverance, of his salvation, of the great and mighty works which we, as individuals, we have seen and experienced in our own lives, God's mighty works. Right. So we mustn't become complacent. So now, let's look at the scriptures. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. Have you got that there, brother? Right. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart to Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have received from me. For John truly baptized with the Holy Spirit, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he says, I'm not going to read the rest of it. Down in verse 8 he says, but when you receive power, when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, at this time, Jesus was about to ascend into heaven. These were the last words which Jesus spoke to his disciples, that we should be witnesses. Now, when you're going to leave someone, you won't see them for a long time, you're going to say special words, words that are particularly important. So those words which Jesus spoke, they were those which were very important to him. That we should be witnesses. So now, let's look at the word witness. What is a witness? Well, the definition is, witness is a person who gives testimony of having seen something. So let's see, what does the testimony mean? Definition, a person who gives evidence. Today we think of witnesses as being something like, say, witnessing a car accident. In which case, possibly, you might be called to go to court and give evidence. And there you are required to truthfully speak what you have seen. Now, I know a bit about court appearances. I've been in court several times. Well, I was in South Africa, and my employment was essentially a water quality person to go and examine the waters for pollution in the local authority for which I worked. And when we found that water was being polluted, I would take photographs, submit them to the municipal prosecutor, and I would be called to court. I would stand in court, and the magistrate, he would say to me, did you take these photographs? Did you see this? And I would say, yes, that is what I saw. I was a witness of what I had seen. So, the interesting thing in the scriptures is that witnessing does not always refer to what we have seen. It also relates to objects as well. Scripture, I think scripture, please, Genesis 21, verses 25 to 30. Dennis is turning on. Right, Genesis 21, 25 to 30. Now, here we have the story in the Bible. It's Abraham and Abimelech. Now, contention has arisen over a well, which Abraham had dug, and Abimelech's supporters, family, they had claimed the well. So, here in verse 25 we read, "Then Abraham rebuked Abimelech because of the well of water, which Abimelech's servants had seized." And Abimelech said, "I do not know who has done this thing. You did not tell me, nor had I heard it until today." So Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and the two of them made a covenant. And Abraham set aside 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said to Abraham, "What is the meaning of these 7 ewe lambs which you have set by themselves?" And he said, "You will take these 7 ewe lambs from my hand, that they may be a witness that I have dug this well. Therefore you call that place Beersheba." So, in the Old Testament we read that objects can also be a witness. A witness to something that has taken place. Joshua 24, verses 20 to 27, tells us right, Joshua 24, verses 20 to 27. Now, at these times, the people were worshipping foreign gods. And Joshua says here, "If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, but we will serve the Lord." So Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." Now therefore he says, "Put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote the words of the book of the law of the Lord, and he took a large stone and he set it up there under the oak tree by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to the people, "Behold, this stone shall be a witness to us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. It shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God." So we see from the scriptures that sheep, stones, things can also be witnesses. Now, when Jesus was amongst the people, what he wanted was for the people to know what he had done, the deeds he did in the name of the Lord. And when we consider the story in Mark chapter 5, verses 18 to 20, we all know this scripture very well. This is the story of the demoniac, Legion. Now the story tells us that after he had been delivered, Jesus got back into the boat and he wanted to depart and sail to the other side. And the demoniac said, He wanted to go with Jesus. But Jesus said, no. You stay here and go and tell your friends what the Lord has done. I'll just read that for you. Mark 5, verses 17 to 20. Because it's... Now, it says, when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends. Tell them what great things the Lord has done for you, and how he has had compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. He testified. He witnessed what God had done for him. And this is what Jesus wants each one of us to do. We are to be his witnesses. If you consider all the people in the world who do not know Jesus, how are they going to know? And it's up to us as individuals to share the good news of what God has done for us. And the gospel, the free gift of salvation that is available to them. We have a similar story of the two blind men. We can read this in Matthew 9. Once again, same story, Jesus. Matthew chapter 9. Here we go. Right. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 to 31. Right. So when Jesus had departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe I am able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, see that no one knows it. But when they departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. When God has done something wonderful in your life, you can't keep it to yourself. You want to go and share it and tell people. The blind man could see by the power of God. And just a few verses prior to that, verses 23 to 26, we have the story here where we read about, 23, right, where the daughter, right. This is the story of the daughter, and she had been made well because they thought that she was dead. But Jesus said, she is not dead, but she is sleeping. So Jesus, he went in and he healed her. And she was restored whole. And they went and they testified to what the Lord had done. So here we have several stories of what the Lord had done and how people testified to the goodness of God. So how does that put us in the position today concerning our testimony? Scripture beginning was that we are God's witnesses. So now, when did we last testify to somebody about Jesus? When did we last witness and share the gospel with them? Possibly it was a while ago. But We are to be his witnesses. And do we have compassion and love for the lost? As we walk around the streets and we see the people next to us, do we consider the fact that if they do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, then their future is in the lake of fire, because they will not get into heaven? The Bible tells us quite clearly that there will be two judgments at the end of time. One is what's called the Great White Throne Judgment, when those who have not committed their hearts to Jesus, Jesus will show them all the faults in their lives, and they will be consigned to the lake of fire. The other judgment is for the believers at the Bema Street, where Jesus will reward each believer according to how they have served in the kingdom. So we have this situation where there are so many people out there who have not heard. And what are we going to do about it? Well, many people say, but I'm not called to witness. I'm not good at being a witness. And I don't know how to start. I'm embarrassed. But what people are really concerned about is the fact that they will be rejected. When they speak to somebody and they say, no, I don't believe in God, I don't want this. And that is what stops a lot of people witnessing about Jesus. Other people will say, well, I don't know how to do it. What do I say? Well, you see, witnessing is on a personal level, one-to-one. We're not talking about standing on a street corner with a loudspeaker, witnessing to the crowds as they go past. Each one of us, in our daily life, we will rub shoulders with many people. You will come across them in the petrol station. You'll come across them in the supermarket. You'll come across them in the street. And there are opportunities for us to share the good news of the gospel with them. God has divinely appointed people to be put on our path, to share the gospel with them. And the Holy Spirit will speak through us and give us the opportunity. So, okay, here we are, and somebody's next to us. How do we start? What do we say? Do we say, do you know God? You know Jesus loves you. Many people, if you say that, they will immediately sort of put the shutters up and not listen. Marit, in her street work, has used the Bible script many times with great success, which is a method by which you are able to present the gospel very simply and concisely to people, which is excellent. Another one is if you have tracts which contain the good news and you can give out to people. If you're in the supermarket and the person who is on the checkout, they are chatty and friendly, because some of them are, they're very friendly, an opportunity to share with them. You can't do a gospel presentation. Not possible. It's going to take too long. It's going to hold up at you. The person herself will probably be chastised by their employers. But if you give them a Bible tract with the good news, then it's an opportunity to present the gospel to them. There are many ways which we can do it if we are willing. When I was in South Africa, Patricia and myself, we both did a course on evangelism. It's called Evangelism Explosion. And they had a very simple way. What happened was we had a sheet, and on the sheet it said Bible survey. And you would approach someone and you say, excuse me, we're doing a Bible survey about people's attitude to religion. Could you spare us a few moments? And you would ask them several questions. It wasn't long, it's a short thing. One of the questions was, if you were to die today and stand before Jesus and he said to you, why should I let you into heaven? What would your answer be? Would it be, oh, I'm a good person, I haven't stolen, I haven't committed adultery, I don't drink, I don't beat up my wife, I'm a good person? To which the answer is no. You would say to the people, no, you would not get into heaven. Because the only way to get into heaven is through the precious blood of Jesus, believing that he died on the cross for your sins. And if you repent of your sins and ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior, then he will let you in. Now that's a very simple one, but it is a very, very deep question to ask them, ask someone, if you were to die, what would you say? Most of them it's good works, but there is only one way. So we have these divine appointments. And, excuse me, so we can all share the gospel. The Bible says it's a fearsome thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And if each one of us are prepared to be witnesses for Jesus, you'll find it's a wonderful blessing. It is a great blessing to see somebody give their hearts to Jesus. So today, I say to you, the Lord is saying to us, let us once more revive the fire that was in our heart at the beginning. That fire we had when we were so enthusiastic for Jesus. So enthusiastic. So how are we going to revive that fire? First of all, do you have a desire in your heart? If you do, then you pray. Ask the Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, once more, you will be filled with that desire and that hunger. To be a witness for Jesus is not an option, really. It's Jesus' commandment for us to go and to preach and to share God's word. Because if we don't speak, then people won't hear. And there's so many out there, lost souls. So can we have compassion? Can we have the love in our hearts for other people? There was an occasion where Jesus was asked, Master, what is the great commandment? And Jesus said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, this fulfills the law and the prophets. So do we love our neighbor as ourselves? Who is our neighbor? Well, Jesus carried on to explain that. But speaking literally, do our physical neighbors know that we are Christians? And have they had the opportunity to share the gospel with them. But our neighbor is also anyone we meet in the street, anyone God puts on our path. I can assure you there is opportunity if you're prepared and willing. And also if you can see how God is opening the door before you to give you the opportunity. You might be standing in the queue at a checkout, and somebody says, "Oh, I see you've only got a few things in your hand. Just go ahead of me." You say, "Oh, thank you, the Lord bless you." And then you can say, "Do you believe in God?" And you can give them a tract. It is very easy if you're willing. God makes a way. He really does. Just for us to be sensitive and to be aware of the opportunities that God has created. And it's a divine appointment. For God has prepared the hearts of people to receive that seed. Because that's what we are doing. We are sowing seeds into people's lives. And we mustn't be impatient when we witness to people if they don't give their hearts to Jesus. The scripture says that one waters, so one plants or one sows, one waters, but God gives the increase. Each one of us here are only here today because somebody spoke to us. Somebody told us about Jesus. Speaking for myself, I was blessed by the Lord God to bring me on a devious path that I might come to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. He took me from Scotland to South Africa. And I was offered a job there, all expenses paid. So I relocated in South Africa, working in the University of Cape Town. And as it just happened, one of the members of staff was a Christian. And he witnessed to me about Jesus. And I wasn't very interested. So, short time later, maybe a few months, he came to me and he said, "John, we're having meetings in our house here." The big house was a wealthy person. And he said, "It's a pastor visiting from overseas. And God's using him mightily. People are being healed. I'd like you to come and see." So I said, "No, I'm not interested." He extended the invitation to me at a later date. He said, "John, you must hurry up and come, because this guy, he's going back to England soon." So I said, okay. Reluctantly, I agreed. So I went. And as I said, it was a big house. His house meeting, there must have been about 50 people in his room, because it was a big lounge. And so we had a time of worship. And I sat there, I thought, well, okay, this is fine. So then at the end, the pastor, visiting pastor, he started to pray for people. People would come out with this, that, and the next thing. One would say, "Oh, I've got a stiff back, and oh, that my back's been healed." Somebody would say, "I've got trouble with my kidneys. Oh, they've been healed. Thank you, Jesus." I sit there at the back and I think, I'm not so sure about this. So towards the end of the meeting, this person came out, and I think he suffered from polio, and he had one of these metal supports on his legs and a built-up shoe. And he goes out to the front and he says, "What do you want Jesus to do for you?" And he said, well, I want my leg to be healed. So at that moment, my employers, my fellow colleague, he called to me. I was at the back of the room. He said, John, come, I want you to see this, please. So I've got to walk out to the very front. There's the guy sitting in the gym. And the pastor takes one look at me and he says, right, I think you saw as a skeptic. Do you believe that God's able to heal this man's leg to make it the same size as the other? I didn't know what to say. I believed in God. I'd been brought up in the Church of Scotland, and been there for a bit before I was in my teenage years and managed to get free. I thought, Well, I said, yeah, I suppose so. Right, he said. So he took the man's, took both his legs, one in each hand. And he said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you just to heal this leg. And I saw the leg grow. It grew probably about that much.
Wow.
And he said, and now? He said, do you believe in God now? I said, yes. And shortly after that, I gave my heart to Jesus. Now, I was there because somebody invited me. Somebody spoke to me. Somebody sowed a seed into my heart. So now for each one of us, let's go and sow seeds. Ask that wonderful question. If you die, you went to heaven today. And Jesus said, why should I let you in? What would your answer be? It's a very deep question, and it's an excellent one. It's very short, very concise, and you can wait for someone straight away. Then there's the opportunity of chance, so we've got one here in the morning. Yeah, here's a tract. Good news, it says. This tract contains the whole gospel message. In those pages. Concise, it's all there. Even a prayer of commitment in your life to Jesus. If you're interested in getting any of these from me, then come and see me afterwards. But God puts people on your path. It's not by accident. It's by design. And it's up to us. I know on occasions, I've been in a supermarket and there's been a lovely woman in the teller. She's spoken to me, she's chatty, she's friendly and so on. And I put my hand in my pocket. I've got a tract. I go home and I feel so convicted. I say, God, there was an opportunity just to give a tract into that person's hand. What they do, it's up to them, but it's God's word and it's the gospel. But it was an opportunity which I missed. So let's resolve. Let's resolve. Let's pray and desire that God will rekindle that fire in our hearts to be witnesses. Because people out there are waiting to be seen. And it's a lost eternity for them if they don't receive Jesus. And that's something which we cannot contemplate. We cannot contemplate infinity. That forever and forever and forever and forever, they will never be able to know God's love, come into his presence, and spend eternity with him. So, brothers and sisters, let's pray and resolve that the Lord will touch each one of us. And to you people who are watching on Facebook and on YouTube, what about the question? What would you say to Jesus? Would you say, I've been a good person? I haven't stolen, I haven't been wicked. I've been a good person. Jesus would say, I'm sorry. So why don't you make your life right with God today? Don't leave it till tomorrow. Why not do it now? Just say, yes, Lord, I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. I believe he's your son. And that by asking him to forgive my sins, he will. My sins will be forgiven. And I will have peace in my heart. I believe that he died on the cross. He was buried and he rose on the third day. And now he sits on your right hand. So now, if you say that prayer, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Get yourself a Bible and read it every day. Find yourself a church where they will baptize you by immersion in water, because baptism is for repentance. You might say, well, I've been baptized as a baby. The answer is no, you were not baptized. You were dedicated. Baptism is for repentant sinners, and it's for you. So let's close now in prayer.